This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rosenbloom, Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to listen.
You know, I did stand on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. I was such a fine sight to see, and I have pictures.
There you go. Are you the subject of said song?
Glenn Frey did not know who I was, but I'm sure he imagined. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Welcome in. I don't want to say happy. A respectful Memorial Day to everyone. I'm not quite sure what the right word is, but grateful for those who gave their lives to protect the freedom of this country and to honor them and to remember them on this day. You can't say happy Memorial Day. You're talking about somebody. People who died. I had an uncle who was a flyer who died in the Air Force in World War II.
I learned my lesson literally doing a show on these very airwaves several Memorial Days ago, and I must have said exactly what you just said. And a texter corrected me, and then I have since reconsidered that. I always say, hope you have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend and enjoy your Memorial Day observation.
There you go. All right.
How's that?
This is WSCR, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We are broadcasting live, me and Espo are, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. The phone number here at The Score, 312-644-6767. That will get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, you should know, 312-644-6767. Also gets you to our texts line, and we welcome that. We welcome your phone calls today. We welcome your texts today. And because it's Memorial Day in the sports world, we can look at the baseball standings.
Finally.
Yeah. We're allowed to look at the baseball standings, and I'm not sure you want to. When you look at the baseball standings, the Cubs are in second place. They're 3.5 games behind the Brewers in second place. The White Sox are the worst team in baseball, and they got even worse. And Pedro Grifols' post game yesterday after getting swept by the Orioles, we'll deal with that later on.
Yes.
For now, the Cubs are in trouble. Some numbers for you. They waited out a 2.5-hour rain delay and then lost to the Cardinals 4-3. Paul Goldschmidt took care of everything. 2-2-run homers off Javier Assad. And Assad was really good against right-handers coming into the game. 176 average this season, and now not so much. If he's falling apart, one of the reliable things about the Cubs, if he's falling apart, You got your O.
Yeah, Assad, I happened to be at his previous outing, which was against the Braves at Wrigley. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't great. It was very similar to last night's outing. Now, he had been lights out for the previous, let's call it full season, the chunk of this season and then the last half of last season. The guy had been amazing. So maybe this is just a few so-so starts mixed in there. He did strike out 8 in 5 innings, but the 2 home runs to Goldschmidt were the difference. There was walks. There was a lot of walks the other night, 2 on, I believe it was Tuesday night against the Braves, and he had 3 more last night in 5 innings. But right, this is a team that is not scoring runs. The starting pitching, if you look across their rotation, has been carrying them. And if some of your starting pitching is starting to struggle, which, and listen, Shota has been ridiculous, historic.
But I'm sure that will continue.
Oh, there's no doubt his ERA will remain 0.8 something for the rest of the season, right?
Well, it worked with Fernando Valenzuela in 1981, yeah.
Fernando Mania. No, but I mean, there's a natural regression that will happen there. Assad, we apparently are seeing the regression. And the biggest problem of all is that they're not scoring runs.
No kidding. Got some numbers on that. But yesterday it was Goldschmidt, 2-2-run homers.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Happ hit 2 homers. Remember Ian Happ?
Oh, I recall him.
Remember when he was like an all-star and good?
I remember that.
He hit 2 homers. But one of us was a solo, so it was Goldschmidt 4, Happ 3.
Mm-hmm.
There's your scoring. And the Cubs, with their horrible offense, got to Cards closer Ryan Helsley, which probably speaks to the Cardinals' lack of a back end the way the Cubs have a lack of or a back end you don't trust. They got runs off the Cards closer in consecutive games and still lost. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. So the Cardinals come out of this homestand winning 7 of 8 games. The Cubs, meanwhile, are now 27-26. On Memorial Day, we were looking at the standings.
Yep.
They have lost, buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, 4 in a row, 5 of 6, 7 of 9, and 9 of 12. Taking an even longer view, since taking the last 2 in a weekend series, against the Brewers, right? Craig Counsell's renewed acquaintances. And they had tied the Brewers for first place. The Cubs have lost 12 of 18. They are closer to fourth place than first. They're in second.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals are again behind the Cubs. Objects in mirror are closer than they appear. The Cubs offense, as we've talked about, scored more than 3 runs 7 times in those 18 games,
mm-hmm.
right? They lost 3 of them. So even the reliable part of the pitching, they're 4-3 in games where they've scored more than 3 runs with the kind of pitching we've come to expect from the starters.
Well, and I know on the homestand, which was Pittsburgh and Atlanta, they scored a total of 16 runs during those 2 series. And the last 2 games against the Braves, after winning in walk-off fashion, the first game of the series, they lost the last 2 without scoring a run. And then Friday night, as you said, they scored 6 runs. Unfortunately, the Cardinals scored 7. And making this all the more frustrating for Cubs fans is that they had been, and I think we heard Jed Hoyer talk about this because he had been expressing his confidence in the offense, and everyone wanted to talk about the starting pitching, but the team was, if you recall back in April, hitting. They were scoring runs. They were, you could say, overachieving based on what the expectations had been. But the last week to 2 weeks of baseball has really pulled them back towards reality, I guess. They're now negative run differential for the year at a -3 after this weekend series with St. Louis. They had been positive around 30, let's call it, prior to this cold stretch. And as you mentioned, they had been tied with Milwaukee for first. They were a good 8 games above 500, whatever the number was. I don't recall off the top of my head, but they are now 1 game above 500. And making matters even worse is that the dreaded Cardinals, who were in last place and sucking, to quote our show.
Los Cardinales.
They are now only 1 game under 500, and they've won 5 straight.
And they are going to catch the Cubs, it would appear. So last night, we got Craig Counsell talking about a short turnaround. And this is not what the Cubs need or want.
No.
They play in St. Louis. There's a rain delay. It's 2.5 hours. Then they play the game and they lose. And Javier Assad gives up. Paul Goldschmidt, that home run into Big Mac land. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, wait, he sucked this year.
He's been horrible. And they've talked about it on
And he's getting healthy against the Cubs, as Cardinal sluggers generally do.
They talked about Goldie's struggles on the pregame show on Sunday Night Baseball. Mm-hmm. Even 2-for-4 with the homers and 4 RBIs last night, he is still hitting a robust .222. And including those 2 home runs, he now has 6 for the year. It's been a slow start for the potential future Hall of Famer there.
Yeah. And so they have, so the Cubs have this late game because it was a national TV game and it was a late game. And the Cubs have to be in Milwaukee for a 4-game series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an afternoon game. So Greg Council was brought up to him because there's some talk like, well, wait, wouldn't the Cubs vote to bang this game? Wouldn't they not want to play it?
Let me tell you all about that, my friend.
I'm here.
And I know this because I did pre and post on Friday night. Well, Friday night was the game that it wasn't raining at the start of the game. Now, it deluged that evening, later in the evening. But on Friday night, when we did the pregame, it sounded like we were going to have baseball. And then about halfway through the pregame show, they said, no, we're going to start in delay. And then in talking to the engineer and our producers and talking to Coom down at the ballpark, it wasn't really raining. They could have played. They probably would have got in 6 innings before it started raining. And then you're kind of dodging the raindrops the rest of the night. But because they did not start the game, and then they never started the game because of the weather stuff in the area. And there was weather in the area, but they weren't going to get the starters warmed up.
There's weather in every area. It might be bad weather. It might be good weather.
They were not going to get the starters warmed up unless they were sure they were going to play. So because, and it's the first game of the series, right? So, but because they banged that one, you've already banged one of the 3 games in the series. They did not want to have to bang 2 of the series because then you would have had to make up 5 games the next time the Cubs go into St. Louis, the 3 that were scheduled and then the 2 rainouts.
We've seen how much fun that can be.
I agree, but they didn't want to do
it. Dusty and Tony La Russa, 5 games
right.
In August or September.
They did not want to do that, apparently.
I do.
I am not opposed either.
Because I don't have to go to St. Louis in the middle of summer when it's 150% humidity.
They didn't want to be calling up half of the Iowa staff, apparently, to pitch in that series. But they didn't want to do it. And yes, it would have been 100 degrees and 1,000,000% humidity. And because the oddity is, though, they're the only Sunday night game. Today's Memorial Day. There's an afternoon game scheduled. There's nothing you're going to do about that. So, yeah, they got out of there at whatever, 1 a.m. last night. And not that Milwaukee is a long flight, but I'm sure it's not the most ideal scenario for the Cubs to go into a big 3-game series with the Brewers. And by the way, why don't we remind you right now that the Cubs road trip continues today against the Brewers. Craig Council making his return to Milwaukee there, Steve. Pregame starts at 2:35 with Zach's pregame show. Pat and Ron with the first pitch at 3:10. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app.
He's Mike Esposito. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We are with you this Memorial Day on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, talking about the Cubs right now, talking about the White Sox later, and the Bears. And Caleb Williams, he's everywhere. He's everywhere you want to be. He's the American Express card of quarterbacks.
With Bear Claw.
Bear Claw, yeah. We're all doing the Bear Claw in here. But for now, we're talking about the quick turnaround. And it is an example of the way baseball works.
Mm-hmm.
There's 162 games. You just don't want to see this when you suck, and the Cubs suck right now. Here's Council talking about the quick turnaround. Last night's game, rain delay, afternoon game in Milwaukee, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it's the baseball schedule. You know, fortunately, we'll get there pretty quickly, and we'll sleep fast and be ready to go.
Okay, that's it. That's all you can say.
Can somebody tell me how to sleep fast? I would like to learn that skill.
Well, you can start on the plane. You don't want the pilot doing that, but you can start on the plane. And that's what, in some ways, you're used to it, and in some ways, you never get used to it. I don't know how. Baseball players have developed their own rhythms. They're used to it. But you just go out and play. You're a professional.
Yep.
You get paid a lot of money to be able to perform under these circumstances. And we will find out more about the Cubs as we go on with our guests today. But let me explain to you who our guests are.
That would be a good idea.
At 8 o'clock, we will talk Bears with Matt Verderami, NFL staff writer for Sports Illustrated. We'll talk Bears. Let's see, maybe over the radio.
And he can give us a Bear Claws. There you go.
Yeah. So Spilk has brought in donuts today from Dunkin' Donuts, and not donuts, he brought in bagels and cream cheese.
We like bagels and cream cheese.
Yeah, but why not Bear Claws? Shouldn't he be? He runs a sports radio station, Mitch Rosen does, and he's in on Memorial Day. Why isn't he bringing
dedication
Bear
right there.
Claws?
Maybe they're sold out of Bear Claws because of Caleb Williams.
Go out and get some. Bring it. Aren't we worth Bear Claw? Do you not want us to have fun and talk bears? Bear Claw, get us Bear Claws.
I'm for it.
I'm
pro Bear Claws.
Do you have a favorite donut? Because Mitch is listening. He's got his finger on the dump button. He may bring in someone else immediately. He may call for the lefty out of the bullpen right now.
Tyler Farringall, come on down.
That's right, yeah. 9 o'clock. We'll continue talking Cubs with Michael Cirami of Bleacher Nation. He covers the Cubs for Bleacher Nation. 10 o'clock, Alex Shapiro, Bears beat writer, reporter for NBC Sports Chicago. We will talk more Bears then. They went through three OTAs last week, one of which was not good for Caleb Bearclaw, at least the one that was most people watched. And it started something. We'll talk about this later. It started like a war on my Twitter account. All the comments on my Twitter account based on something Robbie Triano sent out.
Ruh-roh. Oh, I don't know anything about this. Yeah. I'm going to have to see this.
But it's silly. But it's not silly because it's Caleb Williams.
Yep.
Bearclaw. We have Bearclaw. We don't even have French crawlers.
I like Long Johns. Does that count? Chocolate Long Johns? Is that a version? It's not a version.
No,
of Bearclaw.
It's not. No, it's a Bearclaw is a Bearclaw. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, like I said, later in the hour, we'll talk Caleb Williams, but Pedro Grifol had something to say.
One of our texters will leave you with this from the 708. He says, can we, quote, vote for Pedro, ... to be fired?
Yeah, we've been trying to do that for a while. And he can hitch a ride with some other people. All right. So we'll take a break when we come back. What the White Sox interim manager said, what the former White Sox manager thought of what he said, and we'll talk about the team that is the worst in baseball. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. Thank you for joining us today, Memorial Day. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, not yet. Pedro Grifol has not been fired. We can all hope for it.
He's still there.
But this song is, we're just warming it up, making sure we got cut available.
Stadium anthem.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We are in today, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Our phone number, if you want to vote for Pedro to be fired, as a texter said, 312-644-6767. And that same number, 312-644-6767, will get you to the text line. So Pedro Grifol had himself a game, a post game, when his team didn't have a game. The White Sox were nearly no hit. They were being no hit by Kyle Bradish. And they finally had to get him out of here. He'd thrown 100 pitches.
Too many pitches.
Yep. Elbow problems earlier in the year. And your Orioles took him out. And then Danny Mendick, old reliable Danny Mendick, you know, clutch Danny Mendick, homered. So the postgame show was canceled. But no, the postgame show was not canceled. The postgame show was Pedro Grifol talking about his team losing 4-1, that was the final, losing a four-game series, all four games, getting swept at home by the Orioles. And after Garrett Crochet went out and gave them a quality start, chance to win, here's the interim White Sox manager after yesterday's game.
I don't have much. Crochet pitches ass off. We got no hit through eight. We had a pinch hitter break it up. The rest of the guys, not the rest of the guys, most of the guys were flat today, unacceptable. That's all I got.
When you say flat?
Flat. Period. Major league game. You got to respect it. Pretty simple.
Okay, that's Pedro.
All righty then.
Now let's discuss Pedro Grifol. The first time we've heard that, right? He's never acted like that kind of manager. In fact, he was the guy who would beat up on Dominic Fletcher. Well, he's got to prove he belongs here. I don't know where to get him. Right? While protecting Andrew Benintendi, the worst player in the majors. He's a pillar in our lineup, right? And Pedro Grifol is so full of BS. He is so fraudulent as a manager that he has no credibility, like many in that organization. Chris Getz, right? Last year, well, we're not going to call it a rebuild. It's reloading.
It's not a rebuild. Right now, you are the absolute worst team in baseball.
And like 2 weeks ago, we called it a rebuild. They have no credibility over there, and they don't see themselves. They can't look in the mirror. There's nothing honest about what they're saying. But that was honest yesterday from Pedro Grifol. But here's the problem. Pedro Grifol, for all that he allegedly brought, all that Royals magic that he brought when he was hired, he brought what is now a legendary and much mocked clip that we will not let go.
Of course not.
He was talking about what will happen with his team as he manages the White Sox.
And our style of baseball is just, like I said, we're going to prepare every night to kick your ass, okay? And that's just what we're going to do. And we're going to do whatever it takes on that baseball field, whether it's to move a runner, a ball in the dirt, whatever it takes, you know, hit a cutoff man, whatever it takes to help us win a baseball game.
And maybe the problem is he said we're going to prepare every night, and yesterday was an afternoon
day game. Yeah, that's very possible. Because, you know, I mean, Saturday night, maybe the Sox went out. Who knows? I don't know.
He just indicted himself, right? We were bleeping flat. And he was the guy who said we're going to be prepared every night. So that he took that responsibility. That's his job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get these guys ready to play. Now, the players have responsibility, too. You need to be ready to play. Dave Gamer.
It's a major league game.
But Pedro Grifol took that on with what he said. And now they're bleeping flat.
Well, and he said it, and the frustration, I am sure, part of the frustration for him is his ace, one of the bright, shining lights on that White Sox roster, one of the only bright shining lights on that roster, Garrett Crochet pitched yesterday. He gives up a two-run dong to Adley Rutschman, one of the best players in baseball. But over six innings, he gives up a total of three hits. Those two runs, he strikes out 11, and that's a loss.
That's a quality start, by the way.
That's a loss somehow.
So Pedro Grifol, I guess, called out the players that he was unable to get ready for a game. And he has no clue he should look in the mirror. But this loss, this played well in the White Sox postgame with Chuck Garfine and especially Ozzie Guillen. So the former White Sox manager who would regularly do things like this, but you expected that, he liked what he heard from the current White Sox manager after they got swept by the Orioles.
I don't want to take anything away from Bradish because he threw the ball very well.
Yeah, Bradish.
But, Bradish, Pedro, 216 games take you to say what you feel. I love it. Love it. Why? Because you are a human being. You are eating up all the stress to yourself and you let the people you're protecting, the guys. You have to.
Protect your players.
You have to protect your players. Some people have different ways to do it. But finally, he says something, come up to be a stand-up Southsiders. Yes, stand up. Now you have to the Southsider. You are a Southsider and you are a White Sox player. Stand up.
Yeah.
First time I see Pedro saying the right thing, don't go around people, protecting people, lying to fans just to protect his player. I love what you did, Pedro.
Ozzie Guillen, the NBC Sports Chicago White Sox postgame show with Chuck Garfine, and he loved it, you know, a year and a half into his reign of error as White Sox manager, interim White Sox manager. So far, as best as we can tell, he's not been fired today.
No, he has not.
And we will keep an eye out for that. But he came out and these guys, essentially, he blamed himself, but he doesn't know it. And remember when I brought up that Pedro Grifol is south side for Mike Quadi. And it's true.
Yes.
Now, in this instance,
it is. Absolutely.
Here's a guy who was overpromoted, and it seemed like fresh, like, oh, my God, are they actually going to do this? They didn't do anything he said. They're not a smarter baseball team. They're not a better defensive team. They don't hit cutoff guys. They don't have plate discipline. They don't have – and they don't show any signs of being the team he said. But there's Dominic Fletcher – and there's Andrew Benintendi. And he's calling Benintendi a pillar, the worst player in baseball. And he's making it really hard on Dominic Fletcher. Remember when Quadi was named manager and the only two guys he would criticize or be tough on were the kids? In that case, Anthony Rizzo and Starlin Castro. Meanwhile, veterans could do whatever they wanted. I mean, they were treating him like Lance Briggs treated Mark Trestman.
They're all opening barbecue restaurants?
Yeah. Ryan Dempster's going out to Lance Briggs' barbecue restaurant opening. And Mike Quadi, there's no way any veteran's going to respect you. Nobody in the clubhouse will respect you. I don't believe that Pedro Grifol has much respect in that clubhouse because of the way he's going to be tough on kids. And I know you do this as a manager, try to protect yourself or protect your players. You want to stand up in front. And you have to be given to saying stupid things. And Pedro has certainly cornered the market on that. It's a game show, like stupid things Pedro said this week. That's what we'll mark down. But what he said yesterday was out of character. And Corey Lee, like the guy who couldn't get in the lineup because Martin Maldonado, we just can't miss his... The
defensive prowess.
He's almost as bad as Andrew Benintendi. He's almost as worse. He's almost as much a minus war player as Andrew Benintendi, Martin Maldonado. And Andrew Vaughn is waving pretty close in the minus. Okay. So these are the guys. And the players have responsibility. But when you're the manager and you put in Martin Maldonado, oh, God. Well, that's your fault. And you put in Andrew Benintendi. So a manager has to protect his players. I understand that. But you say stupid things in the course of that. And now he just came out uncharacteristically. Some of these guys were bleeping flat. Corey Lee, the catcher who should be catching every day because there's no future with Martin Maldonado. Nope. There's not even a trade bait. Anyways, this is what Corey Lee had to say after he heard about Pedro's comments.
Andrew said the team was effing flat. You didn't use effing. Would you agree with that statement?
I'm going to let him comment on his statement, and he's going to feel that way, and obviously we're going to have a different feeling. He's entitled to his own opinion, and we are also, and I think it's a valid reason. It's not nothing to hide about that, but like I said, he has his opinions, and other people are going to have their opinions.
All righty then, for the second time this segment.
It's real interesting that Corey Lee, now catchers frequently are heart, soul of a team, the backbone. They're very likely to be a captain. They're the guy, the entire field's in front of them. Corey Lee is a kid. Corey Lee still... You listen to that cut. Okay, that's what he said. As diplomatic as possible. He did not sound in any way shaken by what the manager said. He did not sound shaken by being asked for a comment about what the manager said. He'll have his comments. We'll have ours in here. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. We don't like you. That's how I interpreted that. All right, you can say what you want, but you suck.
Yeah. That's and listen, I get Ozzy likes what Grifol said because Ozzy has sat in Grifol's chair and he knew the frustration of taking the blame versus covering for players. And at a certain point, and apparently yesterday was it, Grifol finally said, that's it. I've had enough of these guys and, you know, this flat effort, whatever, you know, without the F-bomb is unacceptable. The players naturally think differently, and I will say Corey Lee, I mean, if you find bright spots, I mentioned Crochet. He has to be one of them on the White Sox. And I also get, from the roster construction standpoint, that you almost immediately lost your three key offensive pieces early in the season that you were counting on. But you are still far and away the worst team in baseball, and you are still far and away, by run differential, the worst team. They're like 40 runs below anyone else. And the funny thing, and actually the irony, I believe it would be, is that Kansas City, a team which has sucked for decades, is almost 20 games ahead of you in the standings. And that's where Pedro came from, and he was there when they sucked, and now he's in Chicago.
I do think he has a World Series ring from the Royals.
He does.
But most recently, they got better without him.
Correct.
And there's your improvement. Chris Getz has all these former Royals, and we're just rounding them up, and we got the worst team in baseball. So the Royals kept all the good people. And what Corey Lee said, the way he said it, makes another point about what a fraud Pedro Grifol is. Where's the real Pedro Grifol? Ozzy loved it, because that's what Ozzy, you know, curse words were one of Ozzy's four major food groups, still are.
Ozzy's press conferences were delightful.
They were. They were wonderful. But it was honest. It was Ozzy. That's the way he was. You don't know who Pedro Grifol is as a manager. There's the consistent part was he was feeding you crap because there's so many stupid things that he said. And now he says something that is really seems like the truth. Mm-hmm. But because he has been so inconsistent and never shown you who he never acted like a manager, he acted like there's some book, Manager for Dummies, right? They tell you how to act. Like there's an instructional DVD. You have no idea who Pedro Grifol is. I'll bet his players have no idea who he is. And if they know who he is, he's not somebody they have any he's not somebody who smacks of leadership. That's the way it sounded when Corey Lee was talking.
It sounded not so great from all angles. We will find out. They have now lost five. They had do we want to call it a hot streak? They had kind of a average streak where they were about 500 for a few weeks where
they
won some games.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, they're back to losing 9 out of 10. That's what I'm going to say. And they have Toronto coming into town today. And this from a 408 texter who asks if it's okay to suck on Memorial Day or will the Sox suck for us?
Yes, they're doing an excellent job for
9 out of 10, 408 texter.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, Bear Claw. Caleb Williams is everywhere, and he's holding the city, and he's holding the ball too long. That's what we've seen in OTAs. And out and about, and he would be the Irv Kupcinet dream. He would be, right?
Absolutely.
He's everywhere you want to be. We take a break when we come back. Top of the hour, we'll talk with Matt Verderami, NFL staff writer for Sports Illustrated. We will talk about the Bears, my friend, and we will do that the next segment. There's been a ruckus about a tweet from Saturday's show. Like, people are just so angry. We've put a lot of blood in people's urine, so I guess we should talk about the Bears. Bear Claw, has Spilkis brought in his bear? The bear.
I have not seen any movement in the food table there, so I don't think so.
Well, we're here till 11, so he's still got time. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're going to work every day as hard as we can possibly can to kick your ass at 7:10.
Specifically with Caleb, it's really just about when he can rip the call, you know, get the call in and out of the huddle, breaking the huddle, having that pace that we need to have. And we've been doing, of course, the walkthroughs, and he's been really good with that. And this is the first time going against, you know, a pro defense, you know, and a pretty good one. So it's going to be a learning for everybody. And they're getting everything together, and it was progress. I saw progress from the first day to the second to the third. So it's been good.
Steve Rosenblum. Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Indeed. That's us. I'm Steve Rosenblum. You are?
Mike Esposito. We're here.
Yeah, we've solved our identity crisis. We're here. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score on your Memorial Day. We'll keep you company. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. That'll get you on the air. That'll get you to our text line. And by the way, can I just mention this? Now that we're here, we're doing a multiple of show, multiple guest hosting. We're sitting in for Mully and Haw. We'll be part of Bernstein and Holmes. I guess I'll have to be Bernstein. You'll be Holmes.
Okay.
Right? We'll have to
deal.
But let me tell you this. Stop what you're doing and listen to me now.
Pay attention.
A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything the Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today, search 670 The Score, and take us wherever you may go.
I do that.
Maybe you'll go to OTAs.
Caleb, I can do that
Caleb
too.
Caleb Williams, Bear Claw. Everybody, Caleb Williams went too. So the last photo, right, we saw with Dwayne Wade, part owner of the Chicago Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago Sky played a game, and there's Dwayne Wade, and there's Bear Claw. There's Caleb Williams.
We are actually all raising Bear Claws as we do it.
We're on
Tyler Farrigal and then Steve and I, yes.
But we don't have Twitch. We do Channel 1 with Dave Baum's Zitzen plug adapter. Bear Claw.
So Bears.
He did not do well in the OTA that everybody watched. And to the point where, and whether it was 7-7 or 11-11, it's still not football, but more guys show up and so he's adapting to what's going on, and he did not look good. He held on to the ball too long. Hello, Justin Fields. And he would have been sacked if they had allowed that. Hello, Justin Fields. So we're seeing the same kind of the texture goes, wait, wasn't that the same problem? Yes, 815 texture. It was the same problem with Fields, holding the ball too long. We knew that was a criticism of Caleb Williams coming out. And he's facing what you see even against air is the speed of the NFL game.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Fields never adapted to the idea of anticipatory throws. A guy, if you see a guy open in the NFL, it's too late.
Oh, right. 100%. And that's where Eberflus was going there in his comments, right? That, you know, he's just getting acclimated and blah, 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 blah about the timing of the game. And right, if you're watching and waiting for him to be open, then you're too late.
Mm-hmm.
And Fields had not mastered that. Fields, I don't have the time from memory, but he was the longest. He held the ball longer than any quarterback in the league last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was also a turnover, a ball security nightmare.
Yes.
Between fumbles and interceptions. Caleb Williams is going to fumble. You watch. It's going to happen. And there are going to be problems with ball security with Caleb Williams. You just hope it doesn't happen at a bad time. I compare that. Caleb Williams is going to be like Derek Jeter. The rookie shortstops, rookie quarterbacks, they can suck at the worst times in just huge numbers. You go, wait, what happened here? Shortstops make 30 errors. Rookie shortstops make a lot of errors. Rookie quarterbacks can't do it. Now, C.J. Stroud changed a lot of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect Mitch Trubisky or C.J. Stroud from Caleb Williams this year?
Oh, boy. If it's not closer to C.J. Stroud, we're all in trouble. I think it will be closer to C.J. Stroud. And I'm thinking as you're saying that, I'm like, man, we've seen a lot of rookie quarterbacks around these parts the last, what, 6-7 years, whatever it's been, between Trubisky and then you had Fields and the Bajency for a few games last year.
Fields was worse than Mitch Trubisky. So do you expect Caleb Williams, Bear Claw. Do you expect Caleb Williams to be closer to Justin Fields? And we've talked about the two greatest criticisms of him. More likely to be exacerbated in the NFL. The speed of the game is not something he's used to. How he adapts, how fast he adapts, and how good his anticipatory throws will be will tell a huge... Because that there is ball security issues. You hold on too long, you get strip sacked, you get sacked period, and all of that was a problem with Justin Fields. and he tried to run out of a lot of his shortcomings. So do you expect him to be C.J. Stroud? Do you expect him to be Justin Fields?
I do expect him to be. I think most of us expect him to be C.J. Stroud. And I think people will be disappointed if he comes out and, to use your rookie shortstop analogy, makes 30 errors, right? They're going to expect a very quick learning curve with Caleb Williams only because of the pedigree. I mean, we've been hearing about him since high school about, hey, this kid is the next, you know, Andrew Luck, the next top overall pick where it's really going to make a difference. And then you have a guy like Fields who came in first round pick, high pedigree, Ohio State, all that. And I was a Fields fan, but right. I mean, the flaws were obvious, even to those of us that liked the guy and wanted him to succeed. The flaws were obvious. And I know the expectation now that Bears fans have gone through 2 years of who are we going to draft and that circus. You finally seem to have hit the home run, right? You have Caleb Williams and then Roma Dunze falls to you at nine. You already have DJ Moore. You traded for Keenan Allen. This should be, with apologies to the Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett group that Trestman had there. This should be the Bears' best offensive group ever.
DeAndre Swift. Yeah.
Cole Kmet.
It should be. And the quarterback is going to be the key part of that. So he had a rough day, and especially in the red zone. We'll discuss that a little later. But the idea of having a rough day, Caleb Williams in this OTA, and this is when people were watching, because the media didn't get to see every OTA. So the three last week, they got to watch one, and that was Caleb, not so much. And Kevin Byard, the free agent safety they signed from the Eagles, has seen a lot of this stuff before. Remember, he was on the team where Jalen Hurts was, and there was much of Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, this is the guy, and Caleb Williams, and we want that. We want Pat Mahomes karaoke. We want something close to that. So Kevin Byard was talking about what his defense was doing, what it means, what the Caleb Williams experience is for the defense and the safety.
You can see the talent. You can definitely see the talent. You can see the arm strength. You can see those intangibles. I think, especially with a guy like him, especially just watching him in college, you know, we put those pads on, we actually get into live games. Some of those intangibles, some of those off-script plays are going to show itself. It's kind of hard to do that a little bit in the practice setting. But, like, I mean, it is kind of too early. You know, we don't want to sit here and just say he's going to be an all-pro, pro bowl or anything like that. But like I said, these first few days, he's shown a lot of positive things. So that's exciting to see.
Okay. He also said, Byard said, well, we want to make it as tough on him as possible.
Yes.
Because that's going to help him. And like the old image of the Bears is good defense, run the ball, right? So if all of that, the Urlacher defenses, if that was what made quarterbacks better, how do you explain quarterbacks sucking for 40 years?
You could.
Seriously.
More than 40.
Why wasn't Jay Cutler
better?
You're
being far too generous.
Do you remember,
I don't get it.
Do you
it.
Know Jay Cutler's best year was he was mediocre in the middle of the pack of NFL quarterbacks, and we were celebrating Adam Gase?
This is a totally separate discussion, but we could do a whole show about Jay Cutler and unfulfilled potential and sucking, and really that he was healthy. He was here for almost 10 years, right? I mean, 8 or 9 for sure. And they had a good defense and they still couldn't do anything.
How come he didn't get better?
He didn't.
Yeah.
He got worse. He got bearsed.
You're all supposed to get better, right? That was a good defense.
100%.
See, that's the fallacy of this whole thing. Wow, a great defense playing him. Okay. And I discussed something with Hub about another positional battle. Did that on Saturday. So we'll discuss that later. We'll take a break now. We will continue the Bears talk here on The Score. Matt Verderami, NFL staff writer for Sports Illustrated, will be talking Bears with him. And is the Caleb Williams experience already over? Is one bad OTA? See, I'd like said that. And then all of us, and Robbie Triano tweeted out like, oh my God, here we go. And in advance of Hub's appearance last Saturday on Saturday Suckage, and just the whole all the comment section on my Twitter account went nuts. Like people were, oh, we're not doing, don't start this now. Don't, oh my God, look, he was supposed to be, he's supposed to be generational. Why he can't be bad. Like, oh my God, we're playing football against air.
Yeah. We're not starting it yet. Don't worry about it.
Where's Darnell Wright? He needs to block better air.
Against you.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, whether you want to or not, we're going to talk sports. Bears.
Bears.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. On your Memorial Day, for your Memorial Day listening, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Go Bears.
And
specifically with Caleb, it's really just about when he, you know, can rip the call, you know, get the call in and out of the huddle, break in the huddle, having that pace that we need to have. And we've been doing, of course, the walkthroughs, and he's been really good with that. And this is the first time going against, you know, a pro defense, you know, and a pretty good one. So it's going to be a learning for everybody. And they're getting everything together, and it was progress. I saw progress from the first day to the second to the third. So it's been good.
Steve Rosenblum. Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Indeed. That's us. I'm Steve Rosenblum. You are
Mike Esposito. We're here.
Yeah, we've solved our identity crisis. We're here. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score on your Memorial Day. We'll keep you company. Our phone number 312-644-6767. That'll get you on the air. That'll get you to our text line. And by the way, can I just mention this? Now that we're here, we're doing a multiple of show, multiple guest hosting. We're sitting in for Mully and Haw. Will be part of Bernstein and Holmes. I guess I'll have to be Bernstein. You'll be Holmes.
Okay.
Right? We'll have to
deal.
But let me tell you this. Stop what you're doing and listen to me now.
Pay attention.
A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything The Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us wherever you may go.
I do that.
Maybe you'll go to OTAs.
Caleb, I can do that
Caleb
too.
Caleb Williams, Bear Claw. Bear, everybody. Caleb Williams went to. So the last photo, right, we saw with Dwayne Wade, part owner of the Chicago Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago Sky played a game, and there's Dwayne Wade, and there's Bear Claw. There's Caleb Williams.
We are actually all raising bear claws as we do it.
We're on
Tyler
one.
Farrengill and then Steve and I, yes.
But we don't have Twitch. We do Channel 1 with Dave Baum's Zitzen plug adapter. Bear Claw.
Don't
so
bears.
He did not do well in the OTA that everybody watched. And to the point where... And whether it was 7-7 or 11-11, it's still not football, but more guys show up and more. And so he's adapting to what's going on, and he did not look good. He held on to the ball too long. Hello, Justin Fields. And he would have been sacked if they had allowed that. Hello, Justin Fields. So we're seeing the same kind of the texture goes, wait, wasn't that the same problem? Yes, 815 texture. It was the same problem with Fields, holding the ball too long. We knew that was a criticism of Caleb Williams coming out. And he's facing what you see even against air is the speed of the NFL game.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Fields never adapted to the idea of anticipatory throws. A guy, if you see a guy open in the NFL, it's too late.
Oh, right. 100%. And that's where Eberflus was going there in his comments, right? That, you know, he's just getting acclimated and blah, 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 blah about the timing of the game. And right, if you're watching and waiting for him to be open, then you're too late.
Mm-hmm.
And Fields had not mastered that. Fields, I don't have the time from memory, but he was the longest. He held the ball longer than any quarterback in the league last year.
Mm-hmm. And he was also a turnover, a ball security nightmare.
Yes.
Between fumbles and interceptions. Caleb Williams is going to fumble. You watch. It's going to happen. And there are going to be problems with ball security with Caleb Williams. You just hope it doesn't happen at a bad time. I compare that Caleb Williams is going to be like Derek Jeter. The rookie shortstops, rookie quarterbacks, they can suck at the worst times or in just huge numbers. You go, wait, what happened here? Shortstops make 30 errors. Rookie shortstops make a lot of errors. Rookie quarterbacks can't do it. Now, C.J. Stroud changed a lot of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect Mitch Trubisky or C.J. Stroud from Caleb Williams this year?
Oh, boy. If it's not closer to C.J. Stroud, we're all in trouble. I think it will be closer to C.J. Stroud. And I'm thinking as you're saying that, I'm like, man, we've seen a lot of rookie quarterbacks around these parts the last, what, 6, 7 years, whatever it's been, between Trubisky and then you had Fields and the Bajency for a few games last year.
Fields was worse than Mitch Trubisky. So do you expect Caleb Williams, Bear Claw. Do you expect Caleb Williams to be closer to Justin Fields? And we've talked about the two greatest criticisms of him. More likely to be exacerbated in the NFL. The speed of the game is not something he's used to. How he adapts, how fast he adapts, and how good his anticipatory throws will be will tell a huge, because that there is ball security issues. You hold on too long, you get strip sacked, you get sacked, period, and all of that was a problem with Justin Fields, and he tried to run out of a lot of his shortcomings. So do you expect him to be C.J. Stroud? Do you expect him to be Justin Fields?
I do expect him to be. I think most of us expect him to be C.J. Stroud. And I think people will be disappointed if he comes out and, to use your rookie shortstop analogy, makes 30 errors, right? They're going to expect a very quick learning curve with Caleb Williams only because of the pedigree. I mean, we've been hearing about him since high school about, hey, this kid is the next, you know, Andrew Luck, the next top overall pick where it's really going to make a difference. And then you have a guy like Fields who came in first round pick, high pedigree, Ohio State, all that. And I was a Fields fan, but right. I mean, the flaws were obvious, even to those of us that liked the guy and wanted him to succeed. The flaws were obvious. And I know the expectation now that Bears fans have gone through 2 years of who are we going to draft and that circus. You finally seem to have hit the home run, right? You have Caleb Williams, and then Roma Dunze falls to you at 9. You already have DJ Moore. You traded for Keenan Allen. This should be, with apologies to the Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett group that Trestman had there, this should be the Bears' best offensive group ever.
DeAndre Swift. Yeah.
Cole Kmet.
It should be. And the quarterback is going to be the key part of that. So he had a rough day, and especially in the red zone. We'll discuss that a little later. But the idea of having a rough day, Caleb Williams in this OTA, and this is when people were watching, because the media didn't get to see every OTA. So the three last week, they got to watch one, and that was Caleb, not so much. And Kevin Byard, the free agent safety they signed from the Eagles, has seen a lot of this stuff before. Remember, he was on the team where Jalen Hurts was, and there was much of Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, this is the guy, and Caleb Williams, and we want that. We want Pat Mahomes karaoke. We want something close to that. So Kevin Byard was talking about what his defense was doing, what it means, what the Caleb Williams experience is for the defense and the safety.
You can see the talent. You can definitely see the talent. You can see the arm strength. You can see those intangibles. I think, especially with a guy like him, especially just watching him in college, you know, we put those pads on. We actually get into live games. Some of those intangibles, some of those off-script plays are going to show itself. It's kind of hard to do that a little bit in the practice setting. But, like, I mean, it is kind of too early. You know, we don't want to sit here and just say he's going to be a all pro bowl or anything like that. But like I said, these first few days, he's shown a lot of positive things. So that's exciting to see.
Okay. He also said, Byard said, well, we want to make it as tough on him as possible.
Yes.
Because that's going to help him. And like the old image of the Bears is good defense, run the ball, right? So if all of that, the Urlacher defenses, if that was what made quarterbacks better, how do you explain quarterbacks sucking for 40 years?
You could.
Seriously.
More than 40.
Why wasn't Jay Cutler better?
You're being far too generous.
Do you remember,
I don't get
do you
it.
Know Jay Cutler's best year was he was mediocre in the middle of the pack of NFL quarterbacks, and we were celebrating Adam Gase.
This is a totally separate discussion, but we could do a whole show about Jay Cutler and unfulfilled potential and sucking. And really, that he was healthy. He was here for almost 10 years, right? I mean, 8 or 9 for sure. And they had a good defense, and they still couldn't do anything.
How come he didn't get better?
He didn't.
Yeah.
He got worse. He got bearsed.
You're all supposed to get better, right? That was a good defense.
100%.
See, that's the fallacy of this whole thing. Wow, a great defense playing him. Okay. And I discussed something with Hub about another position on battle. Did that on Saturday. So we'll discuss that later. We'll take a break now. We will continue the Bears talk here on The Score. Matt Verderami, NFL staff writer for Sports Illustrated, will be talking Bears with him. And is the Caleb Williams experience already over? Is one bad OTA? See, I'd like said that. And then all of us, and Robbie Triano tweeted out like, oh my God, here we go. And in advance of Hub's appearance last Saturday on Saturday Suckage, and just the whole, all the comments section on my Twitter account went nuts. Like people, don't start this now. Don't, oh my God, look, he's supposed to be generational. Like he can't be bad. Like, oh my God, we're playing football against air.
Yeah. We're not starting it yet. Don't worry about it.
Where's Darnell Wright? He needs to block better air.
Against you.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, whether you want to or not, we're going to talk sports. Bears. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. On your Memorial Day, for your Memorial Day listening, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Go Bears.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.